This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
If you're self-aware enough to know that you need to be more self-aware, then you're pretty self-aware. When you know yourself, when you are self-aware, you become more grounded, more confident. It's easier to communicate with others. It's easier to understand others, deal with difficult situations, and reflect on what goes well, reflect on what goes wrong, and overall just have a better understanding of your present reality and the realities of those around you. If you for one second think that the current version of yourself is the best you can do, you're sorely mistaken. And it's probably not very self-aware to believe that you have no room for improvement. It's what you do on a daily basis when you're alone that matters the most. Are you self-aware enough to be the person that you say you are when no one is watching? Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to your back to the show. Thank you so much for clicking on today's episode. My name is Lily. I'm your host. And today we are going to talk all about three keys to self-awareness, specifically in your 20s, but I feel like you could probably apply this to whatever phase of life you're in. So not limited to just 20-somethings. I feel like my episodes never are, but we're back to the basics. If you guys listened to last week's episode, The Ultimate Guide to a Mindful Spring Reset, you would know that I'm just kind of like, not like walking back on the progress that I've made on the show, but just really simplifying the podcast again. Like, obviously, when you're listening to this, or if you, you know, watch the show, whatever, I'm not doing video right now, so I guess it would just be listening, but it's a real big production to do video. And I just was feeling like so overwhelmed to the point where I was like, I don't even want to record. And I just decided to bring it back to the basics. So I'm sitting on the couch. I have three beverages, which is a little ridiculous, but I have my Yeti with some water in it and a little bit of lemon. And then I have a cup of coffee, my espresso. I forget what the pod is. It's like the tan. I don't know how to say it, but the tan capsule. And that's the pod that I have. And then I have my smoothie, which I drink almost every single day, especially after a workout. I do spinach, frozen banana, half of an avocado, and then I use a scoop of vanilla cachava protein powder and two tablespoons of my seed cycling seeds from Funkit. That's my favorite way to drink my smoothie every day. And then I add like a little bit of water and then I blend it. I've kind of perfected the smoothie. It's seriously a science. It really is. I've perfected it to the point where like I know exactly how many seconds of water that I need to pour from our filter to make the right consistency. So if you, and I'm very particular about the consistency. So if you make the smoothie and you're like, this isn't that good, it's probably the consistency. Like I like it really thick. So I go really light on the water, which requires you to deal with a really loud blender for about 15 seconds until it starts to thin itself out. I don't know. Maybe I'll make a YouTube video, or maybe I'll make a Instagram reel about it eventually when I decide to go back on Instagram, because my other life update is that I am taking a big, long social media break because I just can't take it anymore. I am taking like the biggest Instagram break that I think I can take doing what I do as like a podcaster, content creator, call it what you want. I'm taking a break to the degree that I can. And I haven't taken one in a while. I took one very intentionally, I think like the summer of 2020. And I don't think that I've taken one since then. I totally deleted the app from my phone and it just felt like the right thing to do. I tried all the little things like, oh, just take it off your home screen or set the time limit on it or just dedicate, you know, 15 minutes to post and then ghost or whatever. And none of those things worked for me. Like I needed to just go cold turkey, like cut Instagram cold turkey. I was turning into a total screenager. I would sit there and send reels to friends for like hours on end. And it was just embarrassing. Like I just needed to get off Instagram. So I completely deleted the app and I will probably re-download it to post about today's episode. And then other than that, I'm just not really going to get back on it until I feel like it's right. I've been thinking about taking one for a while, but I just kind of told myself that like I couldn't because I had a job to do on Instagram to some degree. Like sharing bits and pieces of my life is something that you guys definitely appreciate because it kind of works in tandem with the podcast. And I was just writing on my balcony and I was praying and I just felt so overwhelmed. And really the overwhelm stemmed from comparison culture. Or not, it's not a culture necessarily, but just the comparison in general. And just how bad I felt about myself when I logged onto Instagram and how bad I thought about the success that I had or like any time that I would like do something cool with the podcast, I felt like I would log onto Instagram and see someone doing something else that was way cooler than I was doing. And I know like at my core that comparison's bad. I talk about it a lot on the podcast, but just something inside of me, like in the recent weeks, I just felt so like lousy because I was spending a lot of time watching what other people were doing and not celebrating the things that I was doing. So deleting Instagram felt like a good next step. And I also just really used it as a distraction from what I really needed to do. And I would log on to Instagram Reels instead of like putting my laundry away and stuff like that. So I was just letting the app control me. I feel like any social media can have that problem. For some people, it's TikTok. For some people, it might be a dating app. For some people, it might be Facebook or whatever it is. Like if there's an app that you go to as soon as you open your phone or all of a sudden you're like, wait, how did I even get on this app? Like when I deleted it from my home screen, or just like from my phone in general, I would pick up my phone and scroll to like where the app used to sit on my home screen. And then I truly kind of realized like, okay, a lot of times I just get on the app because like my hand just does it. So once you get rid of it, you're like, wait a second, I had a problem. So anyway, got rid of Instagram. I'll let you guys know how I'm doing. I feel good. I think that was on Friday. So I'm on day 5 now because it's Tuesday. So I feel good. And I really have no desire to download it again. Like even last night, I was just chilling and I had no desire to get on Instagram. So it feels really good. Okay, what else is new? I do have a couple cool life updates that will come very soon. And I feel like since I did delete Instagram, I might just share everything on the podcast. Like I feel like so much happens in the spring and leading up to the summertime and it just like finally feels good. Like the weather feels good. I feel good. People are happy. And I feel like I have a lot of life updates to share with you guys. So maybe I'll do like a big life update episode in like 2 or 3 weeks. So if you have any questions that you want to ask or things that you want me to talk about specifically, please feel free to email them to me, hello@lilyrightco.com. And I would be happy to answer them in a big life update Q&A episode. Also, if you have like anything, sometimes people will DM me about like coming on their podcast or sponsorships or brands or whatever. Like it's a big DMs is where a lot of business goes down. So if you have sent me a DM of late and I haven't responded, it's because I just haven't been on Instagram. So please send me an email, hello@lilyrayco.com, and we can get in touch there. I'm better at emails too than DMs because everything just gets lost in the DMs. So that is that. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about 3 keys to self-awareness. And I want to start off by just chatting a bit about what self-awareness really is, because it kind of is a buzzword. Like we hear people talk about self-awareness all the time. Like, oh, he's just not self-aware enough to realize what he's doing, or she's very self-aware. I wonder how she became that way. Like whatever the situation is, I feel like people talk about self-awareness all the time. And I kind of think it's like a learned skill. Like when I was writing this episode, I had a lot of back and forth conversations with myself. I was like, is self-awareness a learned skill or is it just kind of like innately in you? And I think it's a learned skill because I think it's a choice. Self-awareness really requires you to take an honest evaluation of your current reality and become so deeply aware of your emotions and your motivations and the way that you react and your strengths and your weaknesses. So I kind of concluded that it's more of a learned skill and more of a practice than something that's naturally inside of us. I think there are definitely some people who are naturally more self-aware than others. Like, I'm sure that we can all think of someone who we wish that they had a little bit more self-awareness. Maybe you're self-aware enough to know that that's yourself. But I feel like if you're self-aware enough to know that you need to be more self-aware, then you're pretty self-aware. Does that kind of make sense? Regardless, when you know yourself, when you are self-aware, you become more grounded, more confident. It's easier to communicate with others. It's easier to understand others, deal with difficult situations, and reflect on what goes well, reflect on what goes wrong, and overall just have a better understanding of your present reality and the realities of those around you. I'm all about elevating your quality of life from the inside out, which has kind of been the whole premise of this series, including this episode, because self-awareness has to be something that happens as a result of the deep inner work. And along with fostering those mental shifts to elevate your life from the inside out, it's also really important to nourish your body on a physical level from the inside out. And that's why I'm super excited to team up with Funkit to bring you today's episode. I've been using the Funkit Wellness Seed Cycling Kit for months now, and it has made the most insane difference in my hormone health. Funkit is a food-based supplement brand with products specifically formulated to help with all things hormone-related, including PMS, painful periods, hormonal acne, low energy, low libido, and so much more. Funkit was founded by dietitian Kate Morton, who's actually been on the show before. You guys really, really loved the episode with her. I'll have linked in the show notes. And all of Funkit's products are dietitian approved. My personal favorite would have to be the seed cycling kit, which equips you with the right seeds to take depending on what phase of your cycle you're in. In a nutshell, seed cycling is a holistic way to balance your hormones throughout your cycle, and it requires you to eat specific seeds during two main phases of your menstrual cycle. Right now, I'm taking the Radiate blend because it's around my ovulation time, but once I start my period, my cycle will start back over onto day one and I'll switch to the Nourish blend. So I like to take my seeds in a smoothie every morning or on avocado toast. Sometimes I put them on salads. The smoothie though would probably have to be my favorite way to take my seeds personally because it's so yummy. But regardless of how you take your seeds, Funkit uses high quality, fresh and organic ingredients so you can feel your best no matter what time of the month it is. I would also recommend the Cycle Bites. It's essentially a real food multivitamin for hormone balance. It's this yummy little ball, basically, and it tastes like cacao and a little bit of ginger, and it's basically just a multivitamin to help your hormones. So I would totally recommend the Cycle Bites as well. When I take my seeds and take one of the Cycle Bites every single day, I swear I feel like a million bucks. So I'm a big believer that understanding your cycle and working towards healthy hormones is one of the best things that a woman can do for herself. So if you are ready to embark on a hormone healing journey with me, check out Funkit Wellness and use code 8020 to get 15% off of your order. Again, that's code 8020 for 15% off of your order.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Over the past few weeks, we've really chatted about stepping into this woman from that girl. And that girl is someone who really just listens to the ways of the world. She lets other people decide what is best for her. And she's really just kind of like looking around to other people for validation or for approval or for direction. Whereas this woman has been called higher. She's stepping into the version of herself that God has called her to be. She's strong and rooted and grounded. And self-awareness is a huge, huge, huge part of becoming this woman. And it requires three main keys that I've crafted here. The first is growth mindset. The second is getting honest with yourself. And then the third is daily practice. So over the next about 15, 20 minutes, however long this episode ends up being, I'm going to walk you through those three points and how you can implement these keys into your life. So first and foremost, we're kicking it off with growth mindset. A growth mindset opposed to a fixed mindset is the ability to embrace challenges and willingly enter into an opportunity regardless of the outcome, regardless of potential failures, regardless of not really knowing what's going on, regardless of the fear. Having a growth mindset is a huge piece of becoming more self-aware. And that's because most of the time, when you tap into who you are as a person, you start to learn things about yourself that really aren't that great. You might start doing some deep reflection and realize things that aren't great, or you might find habits that you participate in or used to participate in that are no longer serving you. You might realize that you've hurt people, or worse, you've hurt yourself by staying in situations or putting yourself in places that made life complicated. So on this journey to becoming more self-aware, you're going to need a growth mindset. Because it's challenging. When you start to dig deep, when you stop avoiding yourself, you're going to discover things that probably are going to change your life in a good way or in a bad way. It requires you to notice both the great things about yourself and the not so great things about yourself. And that absolutely requires you to have a growth mindset. Without the willingness to embrace a challenge or enter into this opportunity, regardless of the potential failures, you would have a fixed mindset. And a fixed mindset is stuck in my ways. I have no room for improvement. This is just how things are. Have you ever met a person that's like really, really, really super, super negative? And they kind of just walk around with like a chip on their shoulder. And maybe it's just, oh, this is how things are. Life is just unfair. Life is just this way. And they just have like a bad, unpleasant attitude about them because they're so stuck in their ways. If you for one second think that the current version of yourself is the best you can do, you're sorely mistaken. And it's probably not very self-aware to believe that you have no room for improvement. Because if this current version of yourself is the best you can do, I feel really, really sad for you. Like I look at my own life and I just look at where I've been, where I am right now, where I'm going. And I just think like, okay, if this is all I can do, that's like not enough for me. And not in the sense that like I'm not happy or I'm not content in my current season, because I am, but I just know that I was made for so much more and I know that I can only continue to do better. And without a growth mindset, you really can't get very far. So first and foremost, the first key to self-awareness is checking in with your mindset. Is there room for growth? Are you embracing challenges? Are you willing to enter into the opportunity regardless of the failure, regardless of the negative that might come out, regardless of the fact that you're going to need to tap into yourself? Or do you have a fixed mindset? Are you stuck in your ways? Is there no room for improvement? Is this just how things are because it's how it's always been? Key number two, you need to get honest with yourself. I feel like this kind of goes without saying, but self-awareness requires you to become deeply honest with who you are. And I think that that first requires you to understand your past experiences and how those past experiences have shaped the present version of yourself. They're not necessarily an excuse for certain behaviors, but they are an explanation for certain behaviors. So a good example here is like if someone has been through a really bad breakup and they were cheated on in the past and they were in a really toxic relationship and they just are not trusting of people and they just really got burned by this ex boyfriend or girlfriend, it would be a natural reaction going into their next relationship that they would feel really timid. They might have their guard up. I feel like this situation happens a lot because I've had it happen to me. I've had it happen to friends, and not a fun situation to be in. Getting burned by someone else in the past is not an excuse to not act right in a current relationship, but it's a good explanation why someone might not act right in a current relationship that might be healthier. It's not an excuse, but rather an explanation. So by understanding your past, you can then better understand your present and then make sure that those behaviors or those thought patterns or those habits don't necessarily move into the future if they're not healthy. There's something that I found on Pinterest that I thought was really insightful that I wanted to read to you guys. It is, maybe I'll post it on the 8020 Instagram, but I don't know where it's from. It was literally just like a picture of a book. So I wish that they wrote like the book title on the page, but it says self-awareness. Painful past experiences, if not healed from, get stored in the body and end up becoming negative core beliefs. You might find yourself unconsciously attracting unhealthy relationships or maybe sabotaging good opportunities because you believe you're not good enough. You're not a bad person for falling into negative patterns and doing things that don't support your growth. However, once you've acknowledged these patterns, you must unlearn them. It will be difficult and will take plenty of time, but you're more than capable of breaking the cycle. I love that. And going back to the relationship example, like that's just something that happens to so many people, like getting cheated on, getting burned, getting, you know, once you are out of a toxic relationship, oftentimes there's a lot of healing that needs to happen. But it starts by understanding the past. You also need to understand your own behaviors. And I'm talking on like a micro level. What do you do on a daily basis that works? What do you do on a daily basis that doesn't work? Socially, educationally, emotionally, in your relationships and your friendships, spiritually, at work. What do you do on a daily basis that works? And what do you do on a daily basis that doesn't work? For me, in my own life, I went through a phase where every time I looked in the mirror, I would say something really, really negative about myself. And I thought I had since healed from that, but a couple weeks ago, I caught myself kind of walking back into that mindset. And so I had to check myself. I had to be like, okay, where is this behavior stemming from? Where is this negative thought pattern stemming from? And I know that it's not working. So how can I shift that mindset, shift that perspective, and do something on a daily basis that works? So maybe that's like writing a positive sticky note and putting it on the mirror, or making sure that when I do look in the mirror, I say something nice about myself, or just not really look in the mirror at all. Like, can you go a day without looking in the mirror? You probably can. But most importantly, when it comes to your behavior, it's what you do on a daily basis when you're alone that matters the most. Are you self-aware enough to be the person that you say you are when no one is watching? Are you self-aware enough to be the person you say you are when no one is watching? Behind closed doors, when it's just you, what do you do that works? And what do you do that doesn't work? You don't have to like go scream it from the rooftops or confess all your deepest, darkest secrets, but get real with yourself. Understand your behaviors. Being more self-aware requires you to be brutally honest. Key number three to self-awareness is you have to practice it every single day. I think for me, the coolest part about self-awareness is that becoming more self-aware has allowed me to heal from past experiences that I don't think I would have even realized were happening or did happen if I wasn't self-aware enough to see them. Past experiences, bad things that have happened. Let's just keep going with the relationship example because that's easy. If you've had a toxic relationship in the past, you need to look at that relationship from like a 30,000 foot view. Notice what went wrong, what went right, how your behavior played a role in certain situations, how their behavior played a role in certain situations, and just really get a good understanding of everything, like a 360 view of the situation, especially when it comes to different people's realities, because we all have our own story going on inside of our brains. And most of the time, your version of the world, your perception, the way that you look at certain situations, it's all backed by your past experiences and your worldviews and your values. And that's just kind of like how you view your current reality. But no one has the same current reality as you. Not even the people closest to you can live within your current reality. So because of that, a lot of times when a situation goes south, it's just a difference of realities and a difference of perspectives in the way that we see the world and the way that we decide to operate. I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but oftentimes, like if we're just looking at the relationship example, a relationship went south because two people had differentiating realities and they needed to part ways, regardless of the magnitude of that, because it can get pretty brutal. And so if you're leaving a relationship, it's time to heal from that past experience. But you got to be self-aware to do that and realize how your actions played a certain role in the relationship ending, how their actions played a certain role in the relationship ending, things that you said, things that you did. Like, it's all this like perfect storm of what went right, what went wrong, and you have to heal from all of that. So first and foremost, to practice self-awareness, you have to ask for help. Whether that's feedback from people you trust, I would highly recommend like never go to someone for advice that you wouldn't want to switch places with. So go to people who are smarter than you or wiser than you or whatever. Go ask them to point out your blind spots. And nobody's perfect, and self-awareness, part of self-awareness is accepting this. So feedback from people you trust can be really, really helpful in healing from a past experience. I also think for me, asking for help looks like prayer. And ultimately, deepening my faith and my relationship with God has brought me the most self-awareness, more than any other tip or trick ever could. And God really does bring you wisdom and understanding if you ask him. And I think that sometimes all it takes is just sitting down in prayer. So sometimes all you have to do is just sit down in prayer and just really ask God to point out your blind spots. Really, I mean, no one's better doing that than he is. So prayer, meditation, yoga, mindfulness, just getting to know yourself better is a great way to deepen your self-awareness. So another point of my daily practice is to really tap into any sort of mindfulness practices that you enjoy. And oftentimes for me, that's like working out, just kind of like anything that I can do to some degree, turn my brain off and disassociate from the thoughts and feelings for just a second, and then be able to come back afterwards and maybe sit in a meditation or sit in prayer and just really get more clarity on what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, who I am as a person, what does my current reality look like, all those things. You could also test your self-awareness. And this is more of like a little challenge that I have for you, but break a bad habit this week. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I'm sure that when I chatted about Instagram and ditching Instagram earlier in the episode, something probably came to mind where you're like, okay, that thing really doesn't bring me joy and it doesn't have a lot of positive effects on my life. So if you have some sort of bad habit that you're partaking in, first off, are you self-aware enough to identify that weakness? And are you self-aware enough to do something about it? Let that be a little challenge for you. Break a bad habit this week. Are you strong enough and self-aware enough to do it? And then my last point in the daily practice section is to do some sort of reflection, some sort of like after action report. And this for me looks like journaling. Just kind of like writing through, working through what went right, what went wrong in certain situations, and really just looking at the things that you go through as learning opportunities and life lessons and just building blocks in the foundation of becoming the person who you are supposed to be. Overall, self-awareness is a huge key to growth, and I can almost guarantee you that the more you tap into who you are, the more you will start to outgrow the current version of yourself. And this can be a very, very, very uncomfortable place to be, but it can also be a very, very, very beautiful place to be. So those are my three keys to self-awareness. First and foremost is embark on a growth mindset. The second thing is to get deeply honest with yourself. And the third is to practice it every day, whether it's asking for help through prayer, yoga, meditation, mindfulness, taking some sort of self-awareness test by breaking a bad habit, and doing some sort of reflection, some sort of after action report, something to really help you learn and grow from certain situations or challenges or experiences that you have. That is all I have for you today. Next week, we are going to chat about how to become more teachable, which ties in perfectly with self-awareness. And then we're going to wrap up this series. So it's kind of bittersweet, but I know that you all will love what I have in the queue for April and May. But if you are enjoying the series, please be sure to leave a rating, leave a review, send this episode to a friend, whatever you want to do to help more people find and listen to the show. I really just appreciate all the love and all the support that you guys always give to the show, and I really couldn't do this without you. So thank you. I love you guys so much. I hope that you have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you soon.